You're listening to The Court Report with Princeton women's basketball head coach Courtney Banghart.
Welcome to The Court Report. Jerry Price here with Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Banghart. And coach, welcome.
Glad to be back.
So Ivy League play got started. Nice win over Pennsylvania at the Palestra on Saturday. And then this weekend it's a doubleheader Friday, I believe. Columbia's first.
Yes.
So it's Friday night is 5:30 against Columbia. Saturday is 4:30 against Cornell. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But first, we have a question for the week.
All right.
And the question was actually one that I'm surprised I didn't know the answer to. But do you come from an athletic family?
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Yeah, my mom played, she skied and played tennis in college. And my dad was really big into ice hockey, played club ice hockey at RPI. My sister was a three-sport athlete all through high school, but not in college. And my brother actually played ice hockey and kicked for the football team at Colgate. Younger brother. I guess so.
Well, that was the question that we got this week. And all I know right. that you do a lot on social media and you're very family oriented.
Yeah,
you're always
course.
Doing stuff with your family. And I just didn't know the answer
off
the top of my head.
Well, it's funny. I come from an ice hockey family. My very first, I go up for Christmas. I don't get to go up there that often anymore for the holidays. It's just too cold for my thin blood. But, pond hockey is a big thing up there. So I actually haven't played pond hockey in probably about 4 years and I'm starting to miss it.
You a good skater?
I'm a pretty good ice skater. Yeah, I'm a pretty good ice skater. Again, I grew up in a hockey family, and I think I'm just luckily I like the don't like the cold weather, so I suck to basketball.
You grew up in the wrong place if you don't like the cold
weather. I know. That's why I'm living here. I'm not moving an inch north.
And this place hasn't been great with the weather either.
No.
Saturday was freezing. I mean, just going from the parking lot to the building or the bus to the building.
It was brutal. Yeah, it was brutal.
Inside the building, however, it went pretty well for the
sure
Tigers.
Did. Yeah.
70-55 was the final score against Penn, and it's a team that you hadn't beaten in, I think, 5 tries.
Yeah.
It's obviously good to win that game. But the question is, given that you have to beat them at the end.
Yeah.
Presumably beat them at the end.
Yep.
You have to win the tournament to get to the NCAA tournament. The question is, how important is it to win that game?
Probably with the tournament, it's maybe a little bit less important than it has been in the past, in some eyes, right? In our case, I felt like we addressed the beginning of the game in the locker room. I went through each opponent that we've had in the non-conference and talk about what our takeaway was from that game. And I wanted our team to know that this year's team is a really good team because of the lessons we learned in the non-conference. And so for our group to see that how hard they've worked is where they are, and then to go out and play with such purpose and passion was it's a highlight.
So last year, the big thing was that it's hard to beat a team 3 times.
Yeah.
But Penn women and Princeton men did that.
Yeah, good point.
In the tournament twice. And, I mean, I guess part of me wonders is how much of it is mental, where you go into the game and you're thinking to yourself, we haven't beaten them in a while. I don't think there was a player on the team who had played in a game that we had beaten them in.
Well, that's what's so funny, Jerry. The post-game press conference, I was sitting with Bella and with Gabrielle Rush, and the media asked about Bella not having beaten Penn. And I looked at her and said, really, you haven't beaten Penn? And she's only been here a year. And Gabrielle turns to me and says, Coach, neither have I. And she's a junior. And so that's, I guess, how competitive I am, is I just look at every year being such a different year and that it's always the next one. And so in this case, the fact that we've beaten them once, it matters a lot right now because we're 1-0 in the league. When we play them again in February, it won't matter as much.
But is that also like the psychological piece of, okay, now we know we can beat them, and two, the blueprint of how to beat them?
Yeah, I think the fact that our kids were able to play with such purpose on both ends and that translated to our game plan, I thought that was a big step. And, I don't know. I guess I don't look as much into the past in terms of can we win at certain places, and who have we traditionally played well against, or what gyms do we play better in? I think the competitive nature in me is just we get 40 minutes to play with this particular team every game, and I look forward to that.
Do you think that the Ivy League, you're entitled to whatever answer you want here, but
okay.
So the team that wins the regular season is the Ivy League champion.
You're right.
The team that wins the tournament gets the automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. This is only year two, and both number one seeds won last year, but let's assume at some point the non-number one seed is going to win. When they go to the NCAA tournament, they're almost surely going to be referred to as the Ivy League champion. Do you think the Ivy League should just go ahead and say that whoever wins the tournament is the Ivy League champion?
No, not at all. I think that, the conference tournaments were put in place because not every conference has as much balance in terms of equal number of teams. So let's say you're in the American Conference and I draw UConn twice and you draw Temple twice. and not UConn twice. That's not really fair. That affects my win-loss record, right? And so what happens is in our conference, you play everybody twice, each home and each away. So the champion is absolutely determined by that 14-game gauntlet. And then the tournament is sort of you have to win a tournament to gain a tournament entrance. So I think the regular season champion, which is what we annually are going to go for, because that shows you're consistently the best team, is certainly the regular season champ.
So let's talk a little bit about the game. And you mentioned Gabrielle Rush. And,
yeah.
You know, she went nuts in the first half.
Yeah, it's about time.
She had 17 points for the game. Off the top of my head, I think she had 14 in the first half. She was 4-for-4 from three-point range in the first half, 5-for-5 from the field. And the game ends up a 15-point game, fairly in control the whole way. I don't even think that Princeton trailed after the first couple of minutes. I think Penn came back and tied it once, but that was about it. Built a 10-point lead in the first half. But the game wasn't cruise control, really.
No.
And Gabrielle's performance in the first half really was the difference.
No doubt. Yeah, her ability to stretch the defense. You know, she's really struggled to shoot the ball. We've tried lots of different things with her to try to get her out of her slump. And, you know, I went to her early. She was the first sub in. She and Abby Myers together. I've been talking about them getting each other shots in our zone, against the zone. But I trust, you got to trust a kid that the Ivy League comes down to it. She's walked the walk. She's been around it. She's a super competitive kid. And, it was great for her to see the ball go in. And it was obviously great for her coaching staff to see it go in for her.
So when you talk about somebody who's struggling,
yeah,
is there any sign ever that they're coming out of that? Or you just... I mean, it's just the like. I mean, and you were.
I know. I try to
do
coach
you. Still have the record for.
I still do. Yeah, most threes made in an Ivy League career. Yeah.
I'm assuming you went through slumps at some point. Did you?
My line, Jerry, is shoot till you're hot, and when you're hot, keep shooting. Yeah. So I try to tell my shooters that, and Gabrielle that you haven't forgotten how to shoot. And if you don't think you're one of the best shooters in the league, you're not. And if you do think you're one of the best shooters in the league, I do too. The only way that she's going to that shooters get out of slumps is by keep shooting.
That's what Pete Carrillo used to say. He'd say if you're 0 for 10, keep shooting because you're going to get hot. And if you're 10 for 10, keep shooting because you're hot.
That's a you. I like it. I like it, coach.
The other thing is when you're in a slump, you need people who are willing to shoot their way out of it. You can't start passing up shots.
Yeah, no, and that's what we told her. You're a specialist, and she's really developed a much more well-rounded game than when she came here. She's much better defensively than she was, but she's her best asset is her ability to shoot the ball. And so, if you're not doing that well, that's a problem.
So let's talk about the Ivy League Rookie of the Week, Carly Littlefield. Her first game against Penn. I'm wondering if she'd ever been in the Palestra before.
No.
Okay, so her first time in the Palestra, which is also great because you have to go back there for the tournament, presumably. What about the way she responded? Because she just seems like she's getting better all the time.
Yeah, and I think for anyone who didn't watch the game, I do think it's worth watching on replay if you want to just see a really, really, really good rookie take on a really, really, really good senior. And I thought, I told her before the game that I thought that Anna Ross was going to try to take on the freshman, much like I hope she does when she's a senior, and to match her physicality over 94 feet was going to be a challenge, and we needed her to be able to do that. And then offensively, I looked at her at halftime, and, Tia hadn't scored, and Sydney Jordan hadn't scored, and she hadn't scored. And I said, I think the better chance we have is that you score of that threesome more, because the ball's in your hands a lot, and I needed her to be a little more aggressive on the offensive end. But that was probably one of the best performances I've seen for a rookie at a time when we needed it, at a position that we needed it. That was a well-earned, well-deserved Rookie of the Week for sure.
8 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. That's a pretty
good. Only 2 turnovers. And, neither point guard turned it over very much. That was a really well-played game by both of those two players. It's just fun to think about. It's one of them's a rookie.
And then Leslie Robinson, another solid performance. She just keeps putting solid performances together.
Yeah, high basketball IQ.
Do you ever worry about her?
I do, because she's still her own worst nightmare, her own worst critic, in terms of she just is a she's a perfectionist in every way. And I'm trying to make sure that she just understands that this is supposed to be really fun in her senior year. And the way she leads our team is why we're good. And the more she gives us into the stat line is helpful. But we're where we are because of Leslie's leadership, and I thought she showed that.
There are just some players, though, that you're just, when they have the ball, you sort of relax.
Totally. She can pass. She can shoot. She can drive. She understands where people are. She knows what I want from her. To have a kid like that, we call her our Draymond Green for any NBA fans out there.
You like the Warriors?
I do like the Warriors, yeah. I like what they run. I mean, I'm a Celtics fan, so let's be clear on record. But I like the stuff that they run. They run a lot of good action.
It's hard for me because the Knicks came within one pick of getting Curry.
I know.
Like the whole fortune of that.
But do they say they would have? Well, we should have gotten Tim Duncan if you really want to get into it then.
I can't imagine they wouldn't have taken Curry with the next pick.
Okay.
And then the other thing about it is having Durant join their team.
Yeah, that's...
It kind of was overkill.
Well, you know, don't...
That's one thing I like about LeBron James is that he...
Went home.
And he, you know, I mean, you can make the case that he went to Miami to try to win championships
yeah.
by joining up with those guys.
Yeah.
But then he left there to try to, like, bring a championship back yeah. to Cleveland. And he sort of... Most of his career has been spent... you know, where he's been the guy.
Well, Gordon Hayward coming back to play for his college coach. Come on, let's put the energy on my Celtics.
I struggle with the critics of LeBron James, though.
Yes, no, I agree. And the way he's handled himself throughout such a being on the spotlight since he was 16 has been admirable.
You watch a lot of NBA?
A lot. Yeah, a lot. I probably watch. I have the NBA ticket, so I can watch as many as I want, and I at least watch one game a night.
So the one player that I didn't mention yet from the game the other night was
Come
Bella
on.
Allery.
Oh, man.
I saved her for last. Yeah. The Ivy League player of the week yeah. this week again. You know, that's 18 points, 12 rebounds, 8 blocks. So nobody's ever had a triple-double at Princeton.
Gosh. I said to her, just we had practice, and I said, hey, how come you couldn't find 2 more blocks? I mean, come on.
She's going to at some point.
I hope so.
And she wasn't blocking shots against a team that had no interior game.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
That's, you know.
And they were on and off ball. They were both. They were on ball against the league's returning player of the year. They were off ball in guards and posts. And, you know, she also only took 11 shots.
All right. So she had 18 points and 12 rebounds. And not a lot of players probably in the history of Princeton women's basketball ever had at least one game with 18 points and 12 rebounds. Like, that's a lot. I mean,
yeah, and 11 shots, too. I mean, I think that's, when you look at her efficiency, you know, she's shooting the ball over 40% from three, over 40% from two. You know, the kid's a winner. I think she's a kid that if you haven't seen her play live, it's worth it. I mean, it's a really special talent.
I mean, she gets the rebound, dribbles it down the court. So now she got the rebound. She's 6'4 down at this end. Gets the rebound, dribbles it up the court as a guard, is playing on the perimeter.
Yeah.
So the first point she scored in the game, I think it was the first point, she got a rebound, dribbled it down, and then hit a three from the corner.
Yep, exactly.
But then you also posted her up a lot.
Yeah, we asked her to find the backside of the zone. You know, we knew Penn was going to zone. I think their zone has a lot of holes that we were able to find. And then she also was on the offensive glass at key times. You know, she showed that she's one of the best players in the league. And the thing about Bella is the best player in the league. I think in her case, what's so neat for me is that we all know what she does. And I think for her, she's still learning that she's a star.
And she, you know, that's the first league game of her sophomore year.
I know, so fun.
It's
fun to coach.
Yeah, absolutely. So looking ahead now, it's Columbia Friday night. It's Cornell Saturday night. Yeah. Doubleheaders with the men. So it's 5:30 and 8
yeah, that's cool.
Friday and 4:37 on Saturday. Yeah. And you said you like playing the first game of doubleheaders.
I always do. Yeah, I love playing it. As a coach, we get to play our game and then draft and enjoy the men's game. But, you know, it makes for a shorter night for me, so I like it.
So Meg Griffith back... to yeah. coach against you on Friday, and yeah. then Brian Earl back to coach against Mitch on
so
Saturday.
So cool, yeah.
Just kind of interesting to see as assistant coaches move on and get head yeah. coaching jobs. And, like, what's that like then to go against?
So great. I think you, as a head coach, your job is to develop leaders, and you do that with you have a chance to do that with your players. Four or so of them a year, and you with your staff, you don't have as many staff people, right? And so the fact that I was able to help Chessie become a head coach at TCNJ.
They're doing well.
They're doing great. She's having a great year. And then in front of that, you know, right before that, Meg getting a head coaching job at Columbia, Tyler, my director of ops, getting the assistant job at Columbia. It makes me really proud because I hope that I'm able to help those that work with me to get their dream someday.
Do you do anything different this week leading up to that game, since it's reading period, there's no classes, and then it's the only two games for 3 weeks, so it's not like you're doing anything to try to...
Typically, we focus on ourselves on Monday, and so we did that. We watched some film on Penn, the things that we had done well and the things that we had some holes, and then we practiced things that are going to help us develop and grow as a team. And then we are off on Tuesday, and then we practiced Wednesday, Thursday in preparation for the opponents. And so it's a short week for them to learn their opponents, for these two particular opponents, but you know, it's reading period, so I'm trying to lighten up for them.
Is that different? Is that, I mean,
very. I mean, usually you don't have to play during reading period, so because of the Ivy tournament, that's why we're doing this, and why it's a doubleheader is both men's and women's need to be at home, given that we're in the academic place that we are. So I do think it's managing their reality right now as best we can, and now also throwing the second Penn game midweek in February. That's going to be a 5-game stretch in 9 days, and so I've got to continue to really try to manage their bodies where they're reserved for a good push in the postseason.
Do you see a difference, or are you concerned when you have a kid like Littlefield who hasn't been through finals yet as a college student.
Yeah.
And where their head is at.
Best thing about Littlefield is here I am knocking on your wooden table, mm-hmm. but I just don't worry about her. I think she's got she's so consistent. She's accountable. She's a competitor. She takes care of her thing. She's really well-raised. I mean, I just don't worry about her. I have high expectations for her. She's one of those rookies you have high hopes for and high expectations for, and she's surpassing both.
So it's Princeton-Columbia on Friday night at 5:30. It's Princeton-Cornell Saturday at 4:30. Doubleheaders with the men, so you can see the men's game after that. And we'll be back next week to talk about that as exams will start. So Princeton will be off for 20 days after the games this week. And we will be back with a court report next week. But again, we'd like to thank Coach Banghart for being with us.
So glad to be here. Thanks.
And thank you to everybody who listens. And thank you for your continued support of Princeton women's basketball.